This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Reigning Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes finds himself as a favorite over Tom Brady in the Buccaneers on Sunday. Now, this will be the fourth time these two quarterbacks have met, with Brady having the 2-1 edge. We're now joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Michael, who wins, Kansas City or Tampa?
Kansas City wins, and for various reasons. But I feel like, Tampa's still trying to figure it out on offense, and they got it on defense a little bit. That's not going to suffice right now. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're coming to the game with some structure, and their structure is allow Patrick to be Patrick and run the football effectively. And Andy's in the business of working smarter, not harder these days, and got the best quarterback in the world, best quarterback on the planet. And he said, I'm going to build an offensive run game around him that's going to be, stout. And it's going to take a lot of pressure off him and allow Patrick to just do what he do. And it's been showing up for the last couple of weeks, and it's going to show up on Sunday. And I think for that reason alone, they have a much better chance at beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on the road and, in a, situation where, it's a big game for them. So, I just think Andy's in the business of doing it the right way, making the game easier for Patrick. And, Kelsey's going to show up. Tyreek's going to show up. Mecole Hardman's going to show up. Le'Veon Bell and all the rest of the guys. And, on both sides of the ball for Kansas City, they can get it done. And they've shown it and proven it over and over again. And I just don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in a position right now to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in four quarters of football.
So before you go, Michael, what's your score? Just so we know how much do you believe this is going to be Kansas City's game?
The 31-20.
Okay, got it. Fire away.
Man, please. If that's all the points, somebody might get those combined numbers by themselves. You know what? This game is very important for the Chiefs, because I'm afraid, Skip, if they lose this game, they're not catching Pittsburgh. I don't know. You look at Pittsburgh's schedule, Skip, they might go 16-0 in the regular season. Considering what just transpired with the Baltimore Ravens and losing Lamar, there's a good chance they go undefeated in the regular season.
I'll buy that.
There's only one game separation right now. Yep. So you lose this game now because there's only one team that gets to bye. So before now,
it's possible this game is not even going to get played.
Right. So, Skip, when I look at this, Mahomes is just on another level. And the offense is crystal clear. Kelsey, Tyreek, and then everybody else gets scraps. I'm not trying to make sure Mecole Hardman is happy.
Nope.
I'm not trying to make sure Robinson is happy.
And by the way, I think Sammy Watkins will return for this game, but I don't think he'll be a big factor.
Right. Okay. And that's what you watch them. They're like, okay, they started the game. Like, the first four or five passes went to Tyreek. And then all of a sudden, they tried to roll the coverage to Tyreek, and now Travis Kelsey gets to work one-on-one. And the thing is, you can't give Kelsey a steady diet of anything. Any of these great tight ends, the Raiders were like, we're going to press him. He's too big for you to press. You got to press sometimes. You got to play off. You got to quick jam him. You got to just give him a lot of different looks. Because once he knows that you're going to press him, he's going to play through your jam.
Yep.
Skip, Tampa has one thing going in their favor. Kansas City doesn't really pressure the quarterback like the games in which they've lost teams can get after your quarterback. The Saints can get after your quarterback. The Rams can get after your quarterback. Chicago can. That's really not what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs are built to play one-way, Skip. Get a lead, and then we can pressure. We don't have to worry about the run because you're 14, 17 points behind. But what teams have been able to do is that run the ball, control the clock. We're going to take it down to under 10, so we're going to minimize Patrick Mahomes' possession, and then we're going to try to win this game. We're going to try to win it late in the fourth quarter. That's how the Raiders beat them. The Raiders took it down late, and guess what? They ended up beating them. I got the score 41-38. But, Mike, let me tell you this. If I come in here on Monday and Tampa won this game, I'm not going to be shocked because I have no faith in Kansas City's defense. I have no faith in Tampa's defense. So that's why I'm predicting the score is going to go north of 30s. It's going north of the 30s.
You want to respond, Michael? Yeah.
I mean, the way the Tampa Bay offenses look, 38 points is far-fetched right now. Like I said, they really don't have structure within the offense. You know, they got to find some identity. They got to figure out how are we going to come into a game and beat teams and play four quarters of consistent football. It just hasn't shown up. So until I see that, I can't give them the benefit of the doubt. And until I see more consistency, I can't give them the benefit of the doubt. But what I do know is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be Patrick. And Andy's first 15 plays is always amazing. And then the next 15 plays after that is even better. So that's where they get you. They know what they're going to do. They come into a game with a plan, and it's always a good plan. I used to be super excited for the first 15 plays, knowing that we was going to score in our first possession just because of what was on that call sheet alone. And then what was after that became impromptu. And then that allows you to go play ball. But the entire script in terms of offense with Andy Reid is filled with a bunch of plays that can score at any moment of the game. And combined with a new run game, a newfound run game, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat this team. They're going to score a lot of points. And I just don't know if the Bucs defense can sustain for four quarters with this offense.
The reason I am so fearful of everything Michael Vick just said is that he obviously played for Andy Reid, and he knows what that script looks like. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is salivating at the opportunity to execute that script and then execute the Tampa Bay
script.
Buccaneers.
I can only imagine what that looked like.
Yep. Okay, so here's my gut feeling. My heart says Brady, 38-35, and I'm going to roll with my heart. I'm going to stick with it, but my head is screaming back at my heart, time out, because it feels like, it smells like Patrick Mahomes is going to put up at least, I got 42, you got 41, and it feels like 42-38. And maybe as Michael Vick suggests, I'm giving Brady and the offense way too much credit. But as Shannon keeps pointing out, if you do keep Brady clean, he can still play and score at a high level. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen again and again, even this year in Tampa Bay. We saw what he did at Carolina. We saw what he did at Las Vegas. We saw what he did to the Chargers after they were up 24-7. If you can't get any heat on him, he will pick you
apart
to pieces. And that will be short and long occasionally because there's some no risk it, no biscuit throws, especially in the first half of this season when they got to 6-2. My problem is, as they arrived at 6-2, two things didn't arrive with them. Number one, the defense didn't come along for the ride because against New Orleans and then against the Rams in two home primetime games, the defense was horrendously bad, pathetically bad, shockingly bad. I'm a big Todd Bowles fan, but nothing worked. They never even slowed down Drew Brees, and he had 420 yards of offense. They never really slowed down Jared Goff and obviously Sean McVay's play calling because they had 413 yards of offense. What does Todd Bowles do at his very best? He blitzes you silly. Mm-hmm. And what does Patrick Mahomes do at the highest level? He beats blitzes. He eats them for lunch and dinner. His QBR against blitzes this year is 98, Patrick Mahomes. 98. That means he's barely missed a throw against against a blitz. So is Todd Bowles going to say, I do what I do? Or is he going to just sit back and say, I guess we got to go slow death here and just hope he doesn't pick us to pieces? I don't know. And by the way, Jamel Dean, I know he's young, but he's been a playmaker for them. He was the one who picked off Aaron Rodgers.
Right, yep.
Pick sixed him. Did he have the pick? I think he did.
He had the pick six.
The point is, he's out with a concussion, and they haven't listed him completely out, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to play because he didn't practice all week. So now you're down a starting corner against Patrick Mahomes, and you know Patrick's going to want to put on a show against the GOAT because they got like a friendly rivalry going.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I got it. So do I love this? I wouldn't bet one drop of Diet Mountain Dew on this game because – I'm going to watch it with one eye closed because I think it's going to be high scoring and crazy. And if Michael's right, the over under is 56.5.
Yeah.
Michael's got it going under the
Nah, ain't no way. Wow. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is capable of getting 50 by himself.
He's capable.
I do see it being a tough. I mean, I see it being a good game. I see it being a closer game than what you guys may think. But at the end of the day, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't generate offense, and it's a lot of three and outs, and they give Patrick Mahomes a lot of opportunity to score touchdowns, then those touchdowns will be scored. And, you know, while I do feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has performed at times this year, it's been a lot of three and outs on the other side of the ball, and those guys, they get tired. You know, they play emotional football as well, and, you know, it's easy, you know, to feel like things are not going well when they really aren't.
Yeah,
and then that changes your whole perspective of the game and how you approach it. So it's got to be even Steven on both sides, man. They got to have offense and defense. They got to complement one another.
Yeah, Michael, one last question before we go for you.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, how difficult would it be to try to blend in an Antonio Brown into a flow that was working at 6-2 with two Pro Bowl wideouts and Gronk and Cameron Brait and two backs who can catch it? How tough would it be to force fit him into that flow?
It's not tough at all to force him into the flow. Antonio just got to understand, you know, what the play calls will be for him. And it might be limited. It might not be the play calls that he wants. It might not be a lot of downfield throws. Intermediate stuff is where I think Antonio thrives. And he's got to lean on that and not try to do too much. So keep it simple, you know, and it's got to be collective and team effort all the way through for this team, and no egos, you know, as far as moving forward. That's what's going to lead to the success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, they know, Tom Brady knows that if I don't get the ball to Antonio early, I'm going to lose him. He's too emotional. If you think about it, when he comes into the game, Skip, what do? They throw him the ball almost immediately.
They do.
Because Tom knows he's too emotional, and if I don't get him the ball early, I'm going to lose him.
Or he's going to make big trouble.
Tom too old and too accomplished to be thinking that way.
Well, you ain't thinking that way.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Sunday MVP candidate Kyler Murray leads the Cardinals against Cam Newton and the Patriots, or the Giants take on the Bengals, or other regional action. Check local listings for the game in your area, all part of the Fox Football Feast. Now, the Cowboys let their Thanksgiving game get away from them when Washington took a 17-10 lead and never looked back. Washington went on to a 26-6 run and walked away with a decisive 41-16 victory to take the lead in the NFC East. Now, Michael Vick is still with us. Michael, what was the biggest reason for the Cowboys' loss?
Well, it's obvious. It was the failed fourth down conversions, man. And, you know, I will have to say this. It was deflating. It was deflating for all. It was deflating for me, myself, on the couch. I know for the rest of the world and you know the Cowboys Nation who was watching this play, I guarantee you, if it was a packed house and there was fans in the stands, Mike McCarthy wouldn't have never made that call on that fourth on that fake punt. You know, I can understand the fourth and one, you know, to a certain degree, you know, but you know, to leave the team backed up, you know, after they've been playing so well, playing with a lot of confidence and some bravado, you know, they were showing a lot. They was fighting, and you know, I felt like they was being really competitive and they was in the game. But for that to happen in those moments and to give away the short field that they did, you know, it's saying a lot about how you feel about your team. And you know, I just felt like it was a thirsty move. You know, they didn't have to do that. They could have continued to play competitive football, you know, in between the hashes and let the game play itself out. I felt like they jumped the gun and they was in desperation mode for whatever reason. But it was very, you know, premature. They shouldn't have did it. And it was a questionable call, two questionable calls. And to this day, I mean, as of right now, I just don't understand why those calls were made, put the team in a bad situation.
Well, I don't know what y'all know. I'm watching a different game because it wasn't deflating for me. It got me up off my car. I had me pumping. I was a geek. Mm. I don't know what y'all were deflated for. I was happy. Mm. Let me tell you why they lost, Michael Vick. They're a bad football team. Bad football team plays bad. Bad football team, the players do dumb things and coaches make dumb decisions. This is why. If I ask you, Michael, what do the Cowboys do really well? What are you going to tell me?
Man.
Exactly. Exactly. Hold on. Skip. Now, the quarterbacks that they've gone against have thrown 25 touchdowns with 4 interceptions. So every quarterback they play look like Patrick Mahomes. Okay, what about do they stop the run? 307 to Cleveland, 240 to Arizona, 208 to another team, 182 yesterday, 125 last week to Minnesota. So they don't stop the run.
208 was to Washington.
Yeah, 208 to Washington. Yeah, to Washington. And gave up another 182 yesterday to Washington.
Yep.
So, okay, they don't stop the run. They gave up 25 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, so they're not good against the pass. Well, what about offensively? Do they run the ball well? They've got one 100-yard rusher this year. No. What about passing? They got a bunch of guys that they talent. Well, we're going to have 3 1,000-yard receivers. That's all I heard. 3 1,000-yard receivers. Mm. So you don't protect the quarterback. The quarterback doesn't throw the ball to the wide receivers when they are open. So what do you do well, Skip?
What did you see at Minnesota? What do we do well up there? Who had the signature victory of all NFC East teams this year? The most impressive win, home or road, was on the road at Minnesota by the Dallas Cowboys.
Skip, baby.
It was. Well, it just was. It was a tour de force. 31-28. Andy Dalton played superb football. CeeDee Lamb made the catch of the year in the end zone.
Well, then what happened yesterday? Why did he make that catch yesterday? Why did he make the catch of the day yesterday?
Is it my turn?
Yeah,
thank you.
Turn.
I will go to my grave saying that my Dallas Cowboys would now be in first place in the NFC East if the injury gods had not said, no, not this year.
That's true.
Not meant to be. We came out like a house of fire. We came out of the chutes. We shut down the Washington attack right out of the box with a 3-and-out and a sack of Alex Smith, led by DeMarcus Lawrence and finished off by Randy Gregory. I believe my team was inspired by the tragic loss of their strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, lost a couple of days before at age 54. And they said they had a very emotional meeting on Wednesday night at the hotel leading into the game, and they came out ready to play with decals on their helmets for MP Marcus Paul. I believe they dedicated the game to him and that they were ready to go win the game because when the offense got the ball in the first possession, they went boom, boom, boom right down the field. And all of a sudden, I look up, and the left tackle, Cam Irving, limps off with a knee injury. And 4 plays later, as they drive deep into Washington territory, the best offensive lineman in pro football, Zach Martin, who solidified the offensive line at Minnesota by moving to right tackle, is down and out. He is in anguish on the field because he had a little bit of a pulled calf in practice last week, was questionable, and it went completely out. It is now a ripped calf muscle. I don't doubt that he'll miss the rest of the year. And if you take away my right tackle and my left tackle against a Washington front that features five first-round draft picks, it is loaded. It is as forceful and lethal as any front in pro football to me. If you put two undrafted kids at right tackle and left tackle, one a rookie and one a second-year player, you're going to be playing uphill against that front the whole game, and they were. Congratulations, Shannon. The injury gods picked you.
Mike, hold on just a second now. Mike and Vic told me two weeks ago, I couldn't use injury as an excuse because when I told him Jason Peters was out, when Lane Johnson was out, when Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, D-Jack, Miles Sanders, Mike said, you can't do that. Hey, you can't do that, Unc, because a lot of teams have injuries. Now Skip Bayless is using the very thing that you said I couldn't use. He's using injuries as an excuse.
Exactly. That's the reason why I didn't mention the injuries. Yes, that's evident that this team has been, hampered by injury all season. But you look around the league, who else, hasn't been, hampered or decimated by injury? It's going to happen. We talked about the next man up rule. We was talking about Philadelphia. Guys got to step up. And, in the end, this team was in a position to win the football game. It was just going to take four quarters. That was taken away from them in one split second in multiple plays. So I just feel like they was put at a disadvantage. They had their opportunities. Andy Dalton wasn't playing bad. The score was, it was like 17-10.
It was 10-10 when he went for it on fourth down.
By the way, quick question on the Eagles. Do they have two undrafted kids playing their tackles? Is that who they went to?
Hold on.
Stop it.
Hold on. And Mike Vick, was Big Jason Peters there when you were there?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, guess what? He was an undrafted tight end out of the University of Arkansas. They moved him to tackle at Buffalo. He was undrafted.
Wait,
and going to the Hall of Fame.
Are you projecting that Terrence Steele is going to be an all-pro?
You ask me a simple question.
Stop it.
You ask me, was he undrafted? And I say Jason Peters was an undrafted tight end. That's what he was, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, he was, and then he fell into the hands of Andy Reid, and Andy Reid knew exactly what to do with him. So that's a totally different story.
And I will be the first to admit publicly that my team hung in, as Michael Vick points out, and they still fought. And it still came down to my man, CeeDee Lamb, who I raved about yesterday on the show, dropping a touchdown pass from Andy Dalton, hit him right in the wrong place, right in the hands, that would have tied the score going to the fourth quarter. I thought that was an even more crushing play than the fake punt. That's just me.
I thought we were going to lead the players. We're going to let the players decide the game, not bonehead coaching decisions.
My bones?
Yeah, bones. No. Mike McCarthy, because he signed off on that. But at some point in time, y'all going to have to start giving Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers more credit than what you do, because y'all made it seem like it was Mike McCarthy. But when you got two all-time greats at quarterback, shouldn't your record be good? Shouldn't you have gone to the Super Bowl at least once, Mike Vick, with those two guys, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre? You're talking about guys that got almost 900 touchdowns between them, five MVPs. Come on, man.
I respect Mike McCarthy, man. I respect any man with a Super Bowl ring. I take that away from no, individual who's earned that right to say that and, won, throughout the season, did what needed to be done and got a ring on their finger.
How you look without it?
But you got to continue. You judged on your decision-making, in any profession. And ultimately, there were some bad decisions being made yesterday. And it could lead to the demise of this team and the demise of some guys' futures. At all costs.
Skip, I'm going to give you another example. You know this very well because you was covering the league at the time. George Seifert had people fooled, didn't he? They thought he was a great coach when he had Joe Montana and Steve Young. He took his butt down to Carolina with no quarterback, and what'd he do? He was out of the league in a year.
I'm still wondering how Aaron Rodgers has gone 10 years and not gotten back to a Super Bowl. He can't be that good.
I guess what? And Mike McCarthy can coach 20 years and he won't be back unless he get another quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. No mercy.
Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith got an interception and looked like he was about to take it to the house before Washington receiver Terry McLaurin came from nowhere to make a shoestring tackle. The defense would end up holding Dallas to just a field goal. So, Shannon, on a scale of 1 to 10, how impressive was this chase down?
Skip, it wasn't as impressive as the DK Metcalf because he didn't come from the distance. But it just goes to show you hard work pays off, because just like in the Metcalf situation, it kept them out of the end zone. And they had end up settling for, instead of tying the ball game, now we still have a four-point cushion. Skip, that's the difference between winning and losing. One team wanting it more than the other. Because we had talked about the Cowboys not hustling on the Odell Beckham play. Yep. Like, Skip, where's the hustle? Yep. You never know what could happen if you stop him. Because at that point in time, Skip, remember, you had cut it to a one-possession game.
Yep.
I'm gonna give him a 9. I'm not going to say it's a 10. You know what? I am going to give him a 10. For the simple fact, immediately he turned. Skip, if he hesitate a tenth of a second, Wolf Hunter's going to be in position to block him. He had to go instantaneous, and he took off, not knowing if he's going to be able to catch him. He said, but I got to try. Skip, look. Rivera said the players asked him earlier this month to make this young man a captain. Unanimously, a guy in his second year says, a wide receiver at that. There are not very many wide receiver captains, especially in their second year. It goes to show you the makeup of this young man. I'm going to give him a 10 because it could have been easily the difference in the ballgame. Can you imagine? Now, the crowd was already erupting. Now, I guess they ain't got COVID in Texas because they got 30,000 to 40,000 to go. Each week, it went from 5,000 to 15 to 20. Now, we got 30. In 2 weeks, we're going to have 55,000, 100,000 fans in Texas State. But that's neither here nor there, Skip. Can you imagine the fans had Jalen Smith scored a touchdown? Now, they were already going bonkers. Can you imagine what that would have done? And just like that, how deflating it was, we get the ball down to the 3-4 yard line and they don't punch it in. So as high as you were, you're equally as deflated because we just know we're going to get a touchdown. We got Zeke and CD and Gallup and Amari. And we can't get the ball in for 3 yards? Oh, man, it's over.
Well, they did get it in.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. It hit CeeDee Lamb right in the hand. Did they not execute a play that should have been a touchdown? Did Washington stop them from scoring a touchdown? They did not. Neither DB did anything to stop him from catching the football.
Stopped him.
It was cold dropped right in his
hand. What I'm just saying. That's what.
Okay, I'm going to give Terry McLaurin an 8, and I have great respect for him, and I don't know how they stole him. Wasn't he a third-round pick?
Yeah.
I don't get that, but he ran 4.3 at the combine, and it is a legit 4.3 because people cannot cover him. They tried all day with 2, and they still couldn't cover him. The point was, I'm not going to degenerate here on Undisputed to the point where I'm giving a kid props for doing his job.
Right.
Because that's your job. You know this, and you've chased guys after an interception. It's part of being a football player. An offensive player is, you turn and you run. There's no reason not to try your guts out to go stop him because you ran 4.3. Now, once upon a time, Jalen Smith ran 4.4 pre-injury, but he does not run a 4.440 anymore. He had a career-threatening knee injury, which is how Jerry Jones stole him in the second round.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look, I don't know what he'd time now, but would he be 4.6 maybe?
No, that ain't no 4.6.
I don't know. But the point was, Terry McLaurin knows in his soul he can run him down, right? It's an easy chase down, but you got to have the will to do it. You can't be too cool for that school.
Right.
You know, you can't say, oh, God, that's a bad break. Yeah, it was a bad break,
right.
But you can undercut it. You can cancel it just by doing your job. Use your talent to chase him
but
down.
How many times have we seen guys not do their job?
Too many. Agree.
And that was the difference, Skip, because he's like I said, he had to go immediately because a tenth of a second later, Wolf Hunter's in position.
Wolf Hunter almost got there but made a shrewd play to say, you're going to get a block in the back.
Correct.
If you push too hard, and he kind of gave him a little bump, but he didn't arrive on time to get out ahead of him.
Right.
If he had, it would have been a touchdown.
You got to get that one in there. Yeah. You got to get that one in there, Jalen. You got to get that to the house. Out of house. I'd have put a Deion Sanders on. I'd put my help.
Okay, so, yeah, you would have. But the point is, Buda Baker is faster than Jalen Smith.
Yes.
And so for DK, to get on his horse and ride him down for 100 yards, you know, like it was a 100-yard race, right?
Right. But that was the third, that was, they said that was the third fastest skill position speed. Yep. He was like almost 21 miles an hour. DK Metcalf was 22 and a half.
That's just absurd. That's freakish.
And that man, 240 pounds.
It's just silly. Okay, I got it.
Because Russ started, like, I've been. No. I ain't got nothing. No. I ain't got nothing.
But again, I give him credit because he did thwart what became only a field goal. Right.
And that's why I gave him a 10, Skip, because if you had scored a touchdown, I'm like, well, he ain't doing anything. But they didn't score.
Well, I'll give CeeDee Lamb a 0 for
that. No need for the heart. Yep. The grades. You've been grading on the curve all year. I give him a B. I give him a C+.
Well, speaking of grades. No mercy.
The Cowboys now have the worst odds to win the NFC East, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook, after their loss yesterday, in which Andy Dalton didn't have his best performance statistically. Dalton went 25 for 35 and had one touchdown, along with one interception in the 41-16 loss. So, Shannon, give Dalton a letter grade.
You know what, Skip? I'm going to go on and give him this old good D. I'm going to give him a D.
A D?
A D, yeah. I mean, he's 25 or 35, but what Alex didn't tell you, only 6 of those passes traveled 10 yards or more down the field. Mm. She didn't tell you that. And so the touchdown he threw, but if you throw one touchdown for your team and then throw one for the other team, that cancels out. Mm. I mean, so even on the, they got 3 points on the drive that Jalen Smith returned the interception down to, what, the 3-yard line. The team had, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm up here talking about it. The more I talked about it, I done talked myself into getting my F. He flunked. Yep, flunked. Because now that I think about it, Skip, when you think about it, Skip, he threw a touchdown for the team. He threw a touchdown for the other team. So we had 0-0. He had 4 first downs and 7 drives in the second half. Huh? And no drives had more than 1 first down. Mm. What am I supposed to do with that? And I keep telling you, Andy Dalton won 50 games in his first 5 years, and he went to the Pro Bowl. This is what we know about Andy Dalton. Last year, he was on a team that ended up getting the number 1 overall draft pick. Mm. Andy Dalton was on that team. Now, a lot of these guys, I understand that A.J. Green was injured last year, but Tyler Boyd was there and Joe Mixon and those guys, so they can still run the football. Mm. And Andy Dalton helped them get Joe Burrow. Mm. So, Skip, you know what? I was going to give him a D and say he passed, but he flunked.
Really?
He flunked, yes, yes.
So this is a first in the history of the stat called QBR. Andy Dalton had a 74 QBR. That's on a scale of 0 to 100. 74 is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And he got an F for a 74 QBR. 2+2 equals 0.
No. What did eye test tell you? I don't know QBR, Skip. I'm talking about the play.
Thank you for asking that. My eye test told me that Andy Dalton played a superb football game under degree of difficulty scale of 0 to 10, a 10 degree of difficulty. He lost his 2 best linemen, his 2 tackles, in the first drive of the game. He had 2 undrafted kids, 1 first year, 1 second year, playing the tackles against a Washington front loaded with first-round picks that will come after you.
Yeah.
Chase Young was the 2nd overall pick in the draft, and here he came. And predictably, right away, Brandon Knight just whiffed on him, and he got Andy Dalton from the backside, the blind side,
but
right?
You know what you do, Skip? Why you do that?
You know, what I'm doing is I'm going to give Andy Dalton an A- for his performance yesterday, because from start to finish, he played with guts and heart and savvy. In that first drive, even after he lost Cam Irving, his left tackle, it's 3rd and 11, and what does Andy Dalton do? He took off right down the middle of that Washington defense, and he ran for 11 yards because he can move a little bit. He's no Tom Brady. He can actually get out and run it.
You get a man, first of all, Skip.
And by the way, you want to talk about a thing of beauty? That 54-yard touchdown throw to Amari Cooper, if we could see that quickly, it was just, you want to talk about dropping a
dime?
Well,
he beat Darby. Whoa. I'm trying to figure out how Darby.
What a throw. He got an F for that.
Darby.
This man gave him an F. And he executed that throw. And then could we see the throw to CeeDee Lamb that would have tied the game at 20 all? 20 to 20. That's to Amari. Look at this. That's a rocket shot. Hit him right in the hands. That ties the game going to the 4th quarter. You know, 2020 has been a jinx year for all of us, and I guess that score was a jinx score for CeeDee Lamb because it hit him right in the hands. 2020, no.
You gonna talk about you talk about the throw?
You gave him an F for Darby, those throws. Yes,
but Darby was in a bail technique.
Yep.
How you get beat on? Beat deep on bail?
Okay, but you got to hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it right down the chimney.
Okay, Skip.
It was a throw of throws.
Skip. Woo. Old Dunkin' Dalton. That's what I'm going to start calling him, yeah. Old Dink and Dunk Dalton. Yeah. Skip, only six of his passes, of the 35 that he attempted, traveled 10 yards or more down the field. Let that sink in. Mm. So, in other words, he's fishing around the shore. He just fishing. That's why he catching little fish.
If CeeDee just wraps it up and puts it away, we're talking about a tie game going to the fourth quarter with two undrafted tackles playing.
I never heard you say a word. Oof. When they had first round draft pick Ty Smith, and they had first round draft pick the center Travis Frederick, mm-hmm. when they had first round draft pick Zach Martin, mm-hmm. and they were road grading mm-hmm. people, you didn't mention anything about they were going against undrafted free agents, and they would talk. Well, but mm-hmm. now all of a sudden the roles are reversed.
Andy Dalton, 74 QBR. Alex Smith, 22 QBR. He just nuked him in QBR. And you know what Andy Dalton proved once and for all?
What he proved?
He is easily the best quarterback in the NFC East. It's not even close.
Wait, why he keep losing?
You want Carson Wentz?
Why he keep losing?
Give it to him, Wentz.
Why does he keep losing?
Well, he didn't lose at Minnesota, and he wouldn't have lost yesterday if he'd had his two tackles.
So in other words, how many games has he won?
You gave him an F?
How many? Yes, I had him at a D.
I'm embarrassed.
I had him at a D. Yep. Because here's the thing. First of all, you can't get an A if you don't win. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. We got to start there.
A minus.
No. It can't be no
I'll
A.
Give him the minus because he threw it to Sweat. He just didn't get it up high enough, and Sweat just
in other words, you neutralized your touchdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gave your team six. You took it
the
back.
The game was already completely completely out of hand.
So how did it get out of hand with him in there?
Thank you, Andy Dalton, for that effort because you were the only one.
Skip, the man had seven drives in the mm-hmm. second half. Mm-hmm. He had four first downs.
Yep.
Four.
Yeah, with no protection. Way to go, Andy.
And no, and he didn't put together back-to-back first downs in any drives in the second half.
Was that drop by CeeDee Lamb?
And you gave him an A.
Yep.
You gave him an A for that.
A minus. I did.
I know who be grading for Pro Football Focus. Yeah. Now I see. Mm. Everybody get an opportunity to see.
Yeah, now I know who's not grading.
Ain't a dog, F.
No mercy.